People complain about things, I don't have customer here and there, I have too many complaints. But then I said, look, if you do your best, you have all the training, you qualify to do the job, you have the powerful logo, you look after the customer very well, so you still do well. If not, there's something wrong out there. It could be from the attitude, it could be from the communication, it could be from anything that you think of.
Now, today we're joined by Tony Ewan, and you're from Jim's Carpet Cleaning. Now, the reason why we're interviewing you is that Jim does his anniversary calls, and he interviewed you, and he had a great chat with you on a Sunday night about your 10 years as a gym. And he said, Joel, get onto this man and interview him about what he's doing, because you've been a great franchisee, and at the startup, we'll present you with your core voucher as well, which is two free nights to any Accor hotel in the world as well. So it's two free nights on us. It's worth around $600. So that's from Jim's group and Jim. But Tony, do you want to start first with a bit about yourself and what were you doing prior to Jim's Carpet Cleaning?
Basically, I came to Australia as a student. I finished a degree back in my home country as an accounting and finance. Came to Australia when I was about 22 years old and supposed to study an MBA. That means Master Business Administration. But unfortunately, I lost interest, and I changed the course. I came back to accounting, and I did the TAP course, and it was an advanced diploma in accounting and finance, and it only took me about 8 months because I already have a background. So I finished the course very quickly. Then I got a job. I finished that and got out and get a job and doing accounts and admin stuff and of course in sales as well. And from there, I learned a lot in how to manage the small business from other people in the ex company. There was one day the company unfortunately closed because it didn't do very well in New South Wales, and they decided to close, and unfortunately everyone in the branch got to go. They're closing down. That was a bad news. And by that time, to be honest, I had mortgage on, I had kids, I had bills to pay, and my missus was very worried. And I said, no, don't worry, we do something else. Then I start searching and doing something online, and I found Jim. I had a look online a lot, but I found Jim, and by the look of it, I believe that the system worked to compare with other franchise system. And just made me believe that I sign up. And then a few months after, I attend to the business center in Murubat, and I met a lot of professional people, especially Jim himself. I'm very impressed the way that he walked in and he talked. I can't forget the first word that he told us, that okay, I start from a mower. I start from the gym mowing. And by the look of it, look, to be honest, Jim is not as handsome as me. And I said, look at this guy. He's a millionaire now. And I want to be like him. I didn't really believe that, he used to work in the University of Queensland, I believe, and in his story. And I didn't believe that, okay, he told us that, okay, he start from mowing. And now he look at that, he got huge. He's growing, he's big. Why is that? Because his system. Then that's why I show him. And to be honest, back in about 10 years ago, when I show him, I didn't think as much that, okay, we do something. At least that we got to pay the bill. We got the mortgage going on. We have, kid to look after. We have the wife to kiss, and we got to kick the dogs. You know what I mean? So. So that's just what very simple things that I think, and me myself, whatever I do, I concentrate on basically 100%. I concentrate on what I'm doing. Doesn't matter what I do. So I talk to myself first. It's like, okay, you try your best. You have a good system on. You have training in what you're doing. Then you should be all right. And you have good communication as well. So why not? And then, I join him, and time going on, and I couldn't believe that I'm with Jim for 10 years now.
Yeah, has it gone quick?
Yeah, time running very quick before you know it. Seeing my little boy was 2 years ago, and I still have his video there. I can send it to you. He was very funny. That he wearing the gym uniform, and he has the iPad. Normally I bring it with me, and also the book that I bring it with me. And he took that, and he took the mobile phone with him as well. And he talking on the phone because he heard me on that. I talked with the customer on the phone, and he present a bit of himself. It was very funny, and time running quick. Now he's about like 10 years old now, but I still have that video, and I never forget that.
You want to send it in? We can put it in there, make a clip to it if you want. Yeah, we can put it together.
And no doubt that gym system is the best, I think. It's the best franchise system to compare with others, to compare even with like McDonald's, Hungry Shack, post office, other franchise, but... with gym franchise, when you first start, the money that you put in to compare with other franchises is not too much to compare what you can get. You get a lot from there. That's what I believe after 10 years, even those, a lot of people telling me that, okay, Tony, you have a lot of customer now. Why don't you leave gym and do it on your own? I said, look, why I have to leave him? Because I have a powerful logo. We need a logo, do we? If you start from the scratch, you don't have that powerful. And you're just standing on the shoulder of a big guy. So why don't you use it? Why you get rid of it? And I just turned around and I said back to the person who told me that. I said, look, if you start from scratch, you don't have that. And of course, you use the logo. You got to pay what you get. It's simple. As soon as it's worked for you. As soon as you, in the long run, you're still making something out of it. You keep it. That's what I like.
Yeah, you say it perfectly, Tony. You say it very perfectly. And it is about the brand. And people who are independent businesses, who's been in business for a while, they probably don't tell you how hard it was for them to start without a brand at the start and try and establish themselves. Because you're right. When you rock up to a job as a gym, so I've got the logo on there as well, people instantly know you've got credibility, you're reliable. There's certain things that have come with that, with the millions of jobs that have been done over the years, which build into that brand. Yes. Whereas if you start off without that, or it's a really, really hard slog, and people think it's easy. And as you would know from being in a business for 10 years, which is not an easy feat, there's only a small percentage of people who make 10 years in business. It's very low, and you've done a great job, and you know how hard it can be as well, doing that for so long. So in your business, Tony, how's it, like, in the over the 10 years, has it delivered the money you wanted? Have you enjoyed it? Have you found carpet cleaning?
As I said, I'm firstly doing my best first. People complain about things, I don't have customer in there. I have too many complaints. But then I said, look, if you do your best, you have all the training, you qualify to do the job, you have the powerful logo, you look after the customer very well, so you still do well. If not, there's something wrong out there. It could be from the attitude. It could be from the communication. It could be from... anything that you think of, that I'm very happy. To be honest, I start from the factory when I was student. I do, in the factory worker and stuff like that. From the factory to the office. So I do a lot of work from the office to the factory. So I do understand that how hard it is. And when I found them, the first year I make a lot more than what I work for somebody else. So I'm that's made me really happy because I transformed from employees to the B, the E and the B. So it's totally different. It's 100% with you different. Now it gives you the flexibility. That's the most important part that you would love. I can spend time with my kid a lot more. Before I work, to be honest with you, 60 hours a week easily. I work from my company, and then when I get home, work more. So I don't have time to spend with the family. That's the most important part. Secondly, you can enjoy yourself. You can, I love fishing myself, and I do go fishing regularly, to be honest. And of course, in the first couple of years that when you do the business, because it's yours, nobody can take, your hand putting into the client's pocket. You got to do it. So something, I believe that if something is belong to you, you look after more than, you know, somebody else looking after it for you. That's just what I believe. I can be somewhere else, but my head is always thinking about my business, how I'm going to make it happen, and how I can I make it better every day, even little things. So by doing that, this it's not only talk. To be honest, when I first start, I do a lot of hard work. I do free job. I try to make every single customer happy. If they're happy, what do you have? You have a lot from them. You have referrals. You keep the reputation. And word of mouth is the best. You already win the job. Because they if they're happy with what you're doing, they're going to recommend you, of course. And they keep you forever. Unless if they move somewhere else, they have no, you know, carpet to do, they have no upholstery to do, they have no hard floor to do, they always remember you.
And you got a great customer service rating, Tony. I looked it up. You got a really good amount of 5-star reviews. You got a lot of them. So you're doing a great job in that area.
Yeah. But I to be honest, now after 10 years, I slowed down a bit because I don't have to chase new customer as much as I used to do before.
They're coming to
when
you.
I first started, in the first couple of years, 3 years, I have to work a lot harder to get new customer coming in as much as I can. But when I already have a client base, I slow down because customer keep ringing me, and I can't afford to service too many customers like that, you know? So I slow down a bit because I also need more time for myself as well. So I enjoy a lot of other things. I play golf. I go fishing once a week.
What do you catch? What do you go to fish for up there? Vietnamese people are really good fishermen. There's a lot of I see a lot of Vietnamese people fishing around my area too.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I catch tailor. I catch, you know tailor. You know.
Yeah, tailor. Yeah.
Snapper. In the winter time, I catch a lot of snapper. But in the summertime, I catch a lot of tailor. But it's not only that. To me myself, if I go to the beach, I feel very peaceful. To be honest. I can't believe that I can sit down with my mate at the beach for hours, which is I can't do because I'm a very proactive person, which is I'm active. You know, I can't sit down for like hours at home.
Yeah.
But I can sit down at the beach for hours. I couldn't believe that. But doing gym, to be honest, give me a lot more time to look after the family. And also, you pay the bill. You pay the mortgage. The income level that you have is a lot more than working for somebody else.
And how do you like that? And how do you like the actual work itself, Tony? Because how did you pick carpet cleaning originally? Like you would have looked at a heap of different things. So what was it about carpet cleaning that you wanted to get into? And maybe you want to talk about all the services that you do, because you did mention a few services before as well.
Yes. I used to work for somebody else as a carpet cleaner.
Okay.
I have a bit about that out. And when I lost my job, I think about it. I saw that, you know, my ex-boss, that he did the carpet cleaning business for years. He retired now. But I saw him, he made comfortable income out of it, and he retired, unfortunately. But then I saw him as a my idol. You know, like, okay, he has no qualification, but he's very good in what he's doing, and he's very good in what he manages his small business. So I learned from everyone, to be honest. I learned from people who is no, nothing. But I learned a lot from people who's professional, and I love to. And I love to talk to them to find out what's the best. Then we learn. We all learn, you know, and you learn every day.
Well, let's help some other your business owners out. So what did you do in your first couple of years to build your client base? What were the things that you were doing? Because you said you worked really hard to build your client base. So maybe what's some advice for people in those early years about building a customer base? What would you tell them to do?
Okay, to me, myself, yes. Firstly, you need to work it out in your head that what is your purpose of doing this and what you want to do? I'm talking about a business plan. You know, everyone would need a business plan. At the first time of the year that you go, okay, you draw this, you need to do this and that and that, what you target and what you don't want to target this year. So what's your expectation of the year in regarding about your income? Say, for example, you expect about six-figure income. And you, at the moment, last year, you didn't get that. So what are you going to do? When you first start, okay, you have no customer, but no client base. Then, okay, Zim, of course, Zim going to supply a lot of leads, but you need to set every single lead that Zim give it to you. And you don't rely on the website to generate that lead because it's not going to be enough for everyone to start up the business. Zim is only something on the side to support you, to give you the powerful logo, which is, you know, you got about like 50%, I believe. Because I talk to people that, okay, they trust them. They trust him. Why is they trust him? Because he's powerful. So you can be able to charge them, I would say, about 10% more. And customer is more than happy to pay 10% more for that. Now, number two, that you have a proper training. Number three, you have a proper gear, equipment. Number four is your attitude to work. You just can't say that, okay, I pay this much to this guy, Jim, and I should get, you know, a lot from him without thinking that, okay, it's your own business. You got to think about your own. It's yours. Jim can't say that, okay, you pay me this much, I can guarantee you this much. No, Jim won't say that. But Jim only said that, okay, here's the system. The system work is proven by a lot of other franchisees. Why other franchisees do the good job and why not you? Because your attitude. So at your business. So if people thinking that, okay, Jim franchise is his business is not mine and I pay him to get this, that means that you work for Jim. But if you think that, okay, I join Jim Group as a franchisee, so Jim gonna support and help me all the way to my success, but it's my own business. If you think that way, that okay, it's your business, that you should do something. So every single customer that you have, you save them. You trying to do your best to make your customer happy. And after the service done, you always ask them for referrals. If they're happy, of course they're going to recommend you. When I first start, normally I go 10 houses this way on my right-hand side, 10 houses on the left-hand side, I drop my business card. And in my territory, say I'm in eastern suburb in Kushi, even hand out my business card to whoever I know, whoever I talk to. I tell all friends and families and, you know, who is, I never know. And as soon as I speak to them, I recommend myself that I'm doing that.
That's great. Yeah.
So you need to tell people that, okay, and you should be proud of what you're doing. If not, forget about it. You do something else that you like. You have to like it first. You don't think that, okay, you spend this much, you have to get that much. How much you want to get is belong to yourself, and that's what I believe. If I put a lot of hours into my business, of course you're going to get something. Otherwise, the system is wrong. Something else wrong out there. Then you need to find out what's wrong out there. After you get customer, you service them at your best possible. Then from there, you build it up. You attend, I used to attend the, you know, the before they have franchisee meeting.
Yep.
I attend the franchisee meeting. I contact to a lot of franchisor in Jim Group, in Jim Cleaning, from Haida to Ali to lots of other in New South Wales as well. So I'm trying to find out that when their meeting happened, before that we have to have about 6 to 8 meeting a year. So when they say in Cleaning Group, they have about hundreds of franchisees attending to the meeting, I join there. I recommend myself. I give them business card and I take business card from them. So we work together like this.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where you're building up your business in the first few years. Then, of course, every job that you got to do your best. You got training. You got powerful gear. You have powerful logo. So why don't you be, you know, you got to be success. You got to get something. And if you have referral from customer who want to do this and cleaning, for example, then you send it to the cleaning fellas, your friend, your franchisee friends. So from there, they give you back their job in carpet cleaning, for example. So from there, you build up your customer base. And after a few years, you should be all right.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, it's a great point. You know, the other franchisees, especially the cleaning group in cleaning, are in houses all the time and they can't do the carpets, right, or the floors or whatever. So that's right. If they know you're there, they're gonna call you. And how much work do you think you've generated from other franchisees over the years? Have they referred you? Do they refer you a lot or do you get a few jobs out of them or?
I normally get about 30%.
That's great.
To be honest, like I get about 30% lead from gym. I get about 30% from, 20 to 30% from franchisee fellas. I get referrals about 30%. So that all add up. All add up to make you 100% and really appreciate that what they're doing to me. Because you, of course, you introduce yourself, hear the gear, hear the things that I'm doing. I recommend you chop. You sort of recommend me chop, do we? And I guarantee my chop. Every single customer, doesn't matter. Okay, you send me chop. You leave it with me. Whatever happened there, I'm fully insured. I'm fully police checked. I'm professional. I'm training properly. Then, you leave it with me. Whatever happened, I take it.
Now, Tony, I want to ask you, what are some common things that customers should know about carpet cleaning? Is there some sort of things that common questions you get asked all the time? Or is there something from your perspective as professional that customers should know about carpet cleaning in regards to expectations of the service or what can't be done or anything at all? What are some common things you get asked a lot about from customers?
That's a million-dollar question because I got a lot
I can imagine.
Okay. They asked me that this can be done, that can be removed, basically when it comes to the stain. And I got asked almost every single time, to be honest. Customer asked me about the special stain, which is if I can remove or not. That way you have to convince customer somehow that, okay, you build your confidence in front of the customer because you're trying to sell yourself to the customer, yeah? To be honest, not every single stain that you can remove, not only you, everyone having the same problem. Because put it this way, if there's a cancer, the doctor are going to say no because they know that they can't do it. So in front of the customer, you have to let them to understand what the situation, what it is. Some customers say, for example, they're dropping bleach onto the carpet. And unfortunately, that bleach, if you drop it on the carpet like fibra in 1 minute, 2 minutes, it's going to change into in color. And nobody can do nothing. And even urine, urine from pets, if they leave it there for too long, the chance to take that out is minimal. So in front of the customer, number one, you got to be honest. Otherwise, you lose them forever. And what you lose, not only them, but you also lose the referrals. They're going to talk. The bad is going to spread out and the good is going to spread out. Remember that. So if you tell them, now, number one, honest, they would appreciate it. They can book you or not. It's your choice. This is their choice. But if you're honest to them, they would appreciate what you're trying to tell them. And even though you don't get the job, but they going to call you. And I normally say, okay, with the heart stain, which is can't be removed, I tell them that, okay, it's very hard to be removed. And if I usually tell them, if I can't remove those, I'm happy to pay someone to remove in front of me. That means that I have a chance to learn. If I can't do this, I'm going to pay them to do this. Pay somebody to remove this for me, but I want to be there to learn from it, to learn from that person who can remove this because I can't do it. So from there, you can win customer.
Have you ever had to do that, Tony? Have you ever had to pay someone to come?
That's me.
Yeah.
Honestly, I usually tell customer that, okay, say I have a lead and I ring the customer. And they say, that okay, I have this bad stain on the carpet now and the previous carpet cleaner couldn't remove it. Can you do it? And I need, now, firstly, I ask them to send me some photo. Secondly, I would ask them a few questions that, okay, what is that? Because I'm not there. I don't know what it is. So if they tell me what sort of fabric that they had, what sort of stain is there, and how long the stain is staying there for, because the longer it is, the harder, especially when it comes to the urine. The urine is going to absorb onto the underlay, and it's changing into yellow color, the sand to remove that color, yellow color from the carpet is minimal. You can do something to minimize the smell, but unfortunately, it's very hard to remove that stain, to be honest. So in that case, it's happened to me a lot that I have, you know, customer, they have pets in the house, and unfortunately, after a few years, the pet, you know, have a wee-wee a lot on the carpet, and they didn't do nothing about it. Then after, you know, they can't stand on it, now they call the carpet cleaner. In front of that customer, you have to be honest, and you just tell them what can be done and what cannot be done.
That's very important, Tony, because I do think customers have unrealistic expectations sometimes, as you said. They might leave something for 3 years, and then after 3 years, they expect you to make it like new, which is just not what can happen, right?
Impossible, isn't it? Yeah. So, So in that case, and I came across a few customers like that, and I know that it's a hard job, and not only me, it's for lots of other people as well. So I tell them, you know, what should be done to minimize it, but I can't guarantee that 100% is going to be removed.
Well, that's the key, though, to stop any complaints is to be upfront, as you said, with that communication expectations from the start, and not promise things or anything, because that's when trouble can happen. Yes. But that's a really great, point you said then as well. And you mentioned you do hard floors as well. Do you want to talk about that? What type of floors do you do?
I do tile and grout, steam cleaning. Vinyl, timber.
Steam cleaning?
Yes,
steam cleaning. Okay, I didn't know that it could be done.
Yeah, hard floor as well, the ceiling, strip and seal on the tie and grout, timber, sanding a bit.
And timber? Ceiling. Timber sanding. Well, with timber sanding, is it just to get scratches out, or what's the timber sanding for?
Basically, if you want to get into the sanding business of the timber, it's quite a lot of hard work out there as well, and a lot of things that you got to carry in the van with you, but with some basic things that you can remove some, you know, minor scratch, and you resurface it to make it look like new, back to normal condition. But in deep, you need a sanding machine, which is first, you're going to sand it first, take a layer off, and then, you know, you vacuum it, make it nice and clean, and then you reseal it.
Revarnish it. Okay.
Yes.
There you go. That's something I didn't know carpet cleaning did, so that's a good service that a lot of people would need.
That's a good part. It takes about like a couple of weeks, and, you know, if you follow someone for 3 months, work for them, and you learn from the business, it makes you a lot of things out of it, especially when it comes to the income. Is making a fortune, I believe.
And with the tiles as well, I didn't know that could happen. So what sort of device are you using to do the tiles and stuff with the steam? Is it just a little steam cleaner thing, or how do you do that?
No. That's just the process of doing steam cleaning on the tile and grout. Now, firstly, I would put the chemicals throughout first in that area. And then I leave it for about like 5-10 minutes for the chemical to react onto the grout line, also on the tile, to bring up the dirt and the grout and, you know, all the stains and stuff like that. And then you would need a scrubber. You know, a scrubber which is attached with a brush underneath.
Okay. Yep.
And it's gonna rotate at 360 degrees. And at a speed of about like 170 RPM, that means a rotation per minute, it's going to rotate 360 degrees. It's kind of like you're agitating, you know, like you sanitize it.
I get you. Yep.
And then after that, what you would do more is every single line of the ground, you need to scrub it by hand. Because when you rotate it, you are only rotated on top of the tile, but you don't actually doing in the ground line. Yeah. So what you need to make it look good, which is other people might not do it, but I always do. Because if you want to be on top, you got to do that. Because the other people, they might hook up the machine and they just, you know, running a steam cleaning without scrubbing either. They just hook it up and they do it. But if you want to do a better job, you got to do that. Because at the training, it would cost to do it.
That's a great service to hear about, and that people should know that you guys can do. And the one question I want to ask as well, what's the most satisfying stains for you to remove, or what's the most satisfying types of jobs that you like doing? Is there something where you just think this can't be done and you end up doing it, or what are the types of things that you've done over the years that have been the most satisfying in terms of jobs?
A lot of service like tying routes and vinyls and things like that, but also carpet. That's when my first time in carpet itself is there are two types of carpet, which is natural fiber and synthetic fiber.
Yep.
So I only talk about the synthetic fiber only. Synthetic, it could be nylon, could be polypropylene, it could be, you know, anything which is, you know, man-made. It can be made. On the natural side, you might have wool, you might have cotton, you might have sisal, you might have whatever from, you know, natural side. Like wool come from sheep, cotton yep. come from the tree, sisal also from the tree. Sometimes you see that you have bamboo rugs, for example. This makes from natural side. So the natural side, natural fiber is harder to be clean. The synthetic fiber is a lot easier to clean because it's not absorbing.
Okay.
Yes. You see that wool is absorbing more. So from there, if you spill something on natural fiber, it's going to be a lot harder to remove than the synthetic fiber. So my fiber is, when you turn up to a carpet shop and you see, you can feel it. As soon as you walk in, you touch it. Sometimes you do a test. Say, for example, a synthetic fiber nylon. When you burn it, you smell like nylon. When you have wool carpet, you burn it, you smell like hair. So it's this different smell. That's when you first start. But now if you experience, you only need to touch it. You know exactly what it is. So from there, you apply the correct chemicals. And it, of course, you're going to do wood chop. So I prefer to do synthetic fiber because it's easier. You don't need to spend a lot more time on it and easier to make an income.
Yeah, that's great. That's great advice. And you can tell from you speaking just how much knowledge you have and with everything you're talking about, like, you know, 170 RPMs on the head and the different smells between the stuff. It's great to hear your knowledge about.
That's a basic that every carpet cleaner should know. When I first starting my business and I attend a school, of course, see, I went to a proper school here in Sydney and the instructor teach us everything that we need to know about how to do a carpet cleaning business. So
that's great.
So that's just where I come from.
That's really, really good to hear. And I was going to say as well, how's the support been over the years as well? Have you contacted gym much, or how's your franchise all been? How's the support been over the years from the gym group to you?
Yes, I have a lot of support from franchisors and gym, of course. Every time you struggle with something, I the first point of contact, I would, you know, reach out to my franchise or even those on, you know, long times ago. I got accident on my car. Somebody hit into my car, yeah. And you know, into my van, and of course they hit because I have a carpet cleaning
machine, yeah,
truck mount in the back of the van. So they hit the bike, they also hit the machine,
the truck mount.
So no machine to service the customer, and on that week I have a lot of customer to be serviced, and the first people that person I would think of is my franchisor, because he's my franchisor, but he also is my friend. I have a talk to him, and you know, I feel, you know, I can cool down a bit, and he support me all the way, you know.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Yeah, well, you do need that, because business can be, like, if you're a small business without the franchise system, it can be very, like, who would you go to, right?
Yep.
Whereas with that, you've got someone you can always go to who's been through your situation or had that happen to them as well.
Yeah, and also he's doing carpet cleaning business as well. So we're talking the same language, you know? And he does understand what I'm trying to say to him. And straight away he had.
For sure. Yep. And Tony, just before we go, so I just want to ask you, so where are you from in Vietnam? Where are you from originally?
I was born in Hanoi. I'm a city.
Hanoi. I want to go there. I'm looking forward to going. I've only been to Ho Chi Minh. I want to go there.
It's people friendly. Living cost is cheap, I would say.
Very cheap.
Reasonable. Safe. You know, safe. You said that. You just don't worry about anything else. And you just, it's a small city to compare with other cities like Saigon. But Hanoian people are very friendly.
100%. I love Vietnam. It's a great place to travel. And I've had a lot of Vietnamese friends over the years, and I love it. Love it. The Vietnamese coffee and just the markets and just how fresh the food is there all the time. You know, some of the best food in the world, I reckon. So that's fantastic. Tony, but what I was going to say as well, thank you very much for your time today. You're a great success story, your gyms, and you've provided a lot of great advice as well. You can see why you do so well. You've got a great attitude as well. It's fantastic and really, really great for us to see. Jim was pumped that you could come and have a chat to us today. We'll give you this this a core voucher as well. It's worth around $600. It's two free nights at any hotel in the world. So you can go with the family there as well. And that's on behalf of the Jim's group Jim himself. So thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day, Joe.
You too, Tony. No, thank you, mate. Yes. See you, mate.
Thank you for listening to the episode of the Jim's podcast. If you want to learn more about the Jim's group, head to jims.net or call us on 131 546 Australia or 0800 454 654 New Zealand. And if you did like the episode as well, please make sure you leave a review or a comment or a thumbs up or a comment on the video as well. We appreciate your support. And until next episode, we hope you have a great week.